we're enjoying you saying the Bears at the end of every press conference.
Yeah, it's been fun. It's been good.
I absolutely love it. I'm sitting in your press conferences. The only adjustment that I would make to it, Caleb, like once you get comfortable, just simplify it and just go with a simple Bears. Bears. Just like that. You don't even need the duh. Just go Bears.
Got it. Got it.
All right. All right. Thanks, Caleb. I think you guys are tight. I think you've established a bond that's going to last deep into the season.
I'm going to be looking them right in the eyes the next time doing the press. Are you going to do the thing? Are you going to do the thing?
Oh, man.
I mean, at first blush, I don't know if he likes that idea, but...
Dude's been doing a lot of media.
Oh yeah,
he's got a lot of interviews that he's doing. Some delightful stuff in there for me though. Like I love that he says he doesn't get nervous, and he's like worked on that. It's interesting, man. There's a lot of polish to him. There's a lot of sheen to him, and of course there's an underside somewhere. There's this thing where like if you're the guy who's like working desperately to always smile and portray the good vibes, like you gotta have people in your life that you can explode on, people in your life for that you can show your desperation to. And he's got that. Like you can show your sadness that you can crumble with. It's like, that's why you love it so much and you're working that hard. That's why you got to have those people, whether it's your mom that you can cry with after a game, whether it's, you know, friends that you can talk to late at night on the phone, whatever. That stuff has to come out somewhere, man.
No, no doubt about it. I'll say this, though, about Caleb Williams. Occasionally during training camp or the practices that we've seen involving Caleb Williams, when they turn the music off, they've got the music pumping out there. When the music is off and we could hear everything that's going on, Caleb is loud and hard on himself.
Mm-hmm.
When he makes a bad throw or whatever the case may be, audibly hear him, ah, you know what I mean? Like, so there's not a smile with that. So he's very, very talkative in general, very hard on himself. I'm not going to go so far as to say that he's a perfectionist, because I think we throw that around. I mean, we used to say that Mitch Trubisky was, you know, totally in that category of perfectionist. I don't know if he is there yet, but he is hard on himself. So there's the smiles, but then there's the anger too that he has when he makes plays that are not as good.
You know what that goes with though is when he talks about coaching. When he talks about like what he has appreciated from the coaches, he said their encouragement and their grace. We played it last week. It was from a couple weeks ago. And we played it last week to go along with Tua Tagovailoa talking about Coach Brian Flores going at him too hard, and that Mike McDaniel has encouraged him and kind of built him back up. Some of these kids who have been plotting and planning to be great since they were 11 in Caleb's way, they don't need coaches to like drive them super hard and grind them into dust. They're already doing that to themselves.
Yeah, well, I'll say this too. Like Caleb finds the coaches afterwards. Like he is always on the sidelines talking to somebody about what just happened, whether it was good or bad, talking to the quarterback's coach, talking to Shane Waldron, talking to whomever, to Matt Eberflus, as we constantly see in HBO Hard Knocks. So he is a guy who does, going back to the Matt Nagy era, somebody who actually does want to know the why. Like he really seems to want to know and will listen to people and not just take it upon himself to say what went wrong. He wants to know what went wrong.
Yeah, he wants to know and he wants to talk about it and dissect it. But he doesn't need like some hardo like going at him and just like telling him like, no, you suck. You better work harder in some classic old school football coach trope.
He does not need Chad Morton, running backs coach, yelling at him, because Chad Morton is out here yelling at everybody. We saw some of that in Hard Knocks last night, just going after Ian Wheeler to the point where I was like, Is Chad Martin a little bit too much here? Is Ian Wheeler really getting something out of all of this tough love that's coming his way? But yeah, I mean, I guess certain players react differently to certain coaches. Some guys like it when you're hard on them. Some guys don't want to hear it. Morton's giving it to everybody.
Well, though, that was teased a few weeks ago when the director of Hard Knocks, Shannon Furman, had told Adam Johns over on The Athletic that, oh, we found something with the running backs. We didn't think we were going to have something with the running backs necessarily, but they liked Chad Morton. And then there's Jennifer King, and Ian Wheeler's dealing with all this stuff, and then comes the injury, and you get the human moments with Ryan Poles last night and Ian Wheeler.
Oh, yeah, and then the hug, man. There was a hug at the end of Hard Knocks, Ian Wheeler with his mom. I didn't get the timing on it, but it was a good two-minute hug with mom.
Grody, I think next time you see Ian, I know he's going to be with the team, you should offer the same.
Yeah, like just a
I think
long...
you should hug him longer than he hugged his mom.
Just do a quick hug and then just keep holding him as he tries to get away. Yeah. What are you doing, man?
Have Tevin like give you the endorsement. Like, hey, Ian, he's a good dude. He can hug you.
He's a good hugger.
He oh, you want to hug him?
He talks about hugs. Oh, ahead, he suggests that I hug my fiance. He's a good hug.
Let me ask you this. Did the hug go too long?
No, I thought it was beautiful. I thought it totally encapsulated the relationship between a mother and a son in a time where this dude shouldn't be here. He should be in med school. You know, he's just... He had that dream ripped out from under him.
He did, but he's still going to be around. And no, I felt the same way.
He gets injured reserve. You get paid more on injured reserve than you do on the practice squad.
Right? I bet he retires.
Back to medical school.
Yeah, I bet he retires and goes to school.
As they said, I mean, the guy runs a 4.3. How do you just put that away? How do you just say, you know what? I'm not going to do anything with this 4.3 that I have. I'm just going to go be a doctor.
You were moved by the hug.
Oh, I was moved by the hug. Just like Shane said, how could you not be anybody thinking about that? Like, because they show her in the stands. And honestly, like early on in the episode, I was like, all right, we're doing the Ian Wheeler thing again. But then when the injury occurs and then he goes down there and his mom is waiting for him, then I was like, okay.
And the child that was sitting nearby is like, I'm gonna say a prayer for him. You know, that was like, whoa, you know, like that's intense stuff.
Man. Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, for sure. So, yeah, it was impossible not to be moved by that moment. And the longer the hug went on, then you're like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I mean, that's the real stuff right there. And that's a mom that is hurting for her child. And I almost felt like Ian Wheeler was trying to comfort his mom as much as he was being comforted by his mother.
You know, they find a way, don't they? We spent so much time before Hard Knocks began talking about who was going to be the breakout story or who was going to be the emotional story, you know, and all those different kinds of things. And nobody had Ian Wheeler.
No.
Nobody had that. But when you think about it, this is, you know, a really smart kid from an HBCU, undrafted, with incredible tools, the 4.3 speed like you're talking about, a legit shot to make this team. Ended up being a competitive storyline between him and Velus Jones.
Time to channel the inner ferret.
Yes. They do love them some Velus Jones Jr.
Velus's story about him and Michael Pittman Jr. rolling up in South Central pick up a ferret that they found on Craigslist.
Shady. Dude,
awesome.
When that happened in real life last week and we were doing a 24-hour radiothon for cancer research, I literally texted in the show thread, how are we not going to do a segment on the ferret?
Shane, book the ferret. I bet he had cancer. Can ferrets get cancer?
He caught ferret cancer.
Oh, man. This is the beauty of
it's a particularly tough kind, by the way.
The beauty
No, I just checked. I just took the temperature. Still can't make cancer jokes.
You know how players say that they block everything out? And
you won't stop from trying those weeks.
Oh, no, man. We did them leading up, and then there was like one in the middle of it, which was tough for a lot of people. And then you try on the back end. Nope. We got to stay away. But I'll keep trying. Yes, Tanny. I'm sorry. Back to your ferret content.
Yeah, yeah. Velus Jones Jr. actually does have, I believe, he does have the superpower. Caleb doesn't get nervous. I honestly believe that Velus Jones Jr. blocks out everything ever that has been said about him, or he reads it and it doesn't bother him because he is. But I'll just tell you, I'll take you guys into the locker room.
Please do.
Velus Jones Jr. is probably the most available guy every single day of open locker room.
Do you remember when we talked to him and he said he was like he was incredibly good?
He was awesome
and fun.
Yes.
On the what was the name of that show? God, I forget. What was his? I forget his name.
Hampton Holmes.
Yeah, that's what it was. He was great. Velus was great. We're like, oh man, this guy gonna be a friend of the show. Gonna be super fun. And there he is, having his moment with the ferret stories everywhere.
Absolutely. And he can go in, and he loves to talk college football. Still watches every single Tennessee game. But you can go up to Velus and talk to him about absolutely anything, including football, including him fumbling a ball, and he'll just sit there and give you 5 minutes on it.
Incredible. Like, yeah. I like him as a character. I like him as a ball carrier in any form. I just don't like everything else about him.
Like him as well.
No, I like when he has the ball.
Oh, when he's holding on to the ball.
It's just he has trouble catching it. He has trouble like holding on to it.
That moment with Flus after Velus scores the touchdown and Flus just goes, "That's just pure coaching." And he just starts laughing. That was so awesome.
I love it when Flus throws a little comedy in there. No doubt about it. But yeah, man, like. Here's
Wheeler ends up being this incredible storyline. Is the thing.
They loved Austin Reed, obviously. He seemed to be featured in some way, shape, or form in just about every episode. Mm-hmm. One of the other things, too, low-key, that they seem to be pushing, and maybe this came from the Bears, is Matt Eberflus coaching Caleb Williams. In every single episode, they have made a point of showing Matt Eberflus and Caleb Williams one-on-one and Flus doing the coaching. Now, from what I understand, Flus will be more involved in the offense than I think he was with Justin Fields, so it could be genuine, some of it, but it's interesting that we don't see more Shane Waldron coaching up Caleb Williams. It's always Matt Eberflus.
There's a lot there because the Bears have obviously wielded their influence on Hard Knocks on a number of levels. No cursing, we know that. There's Kevin Warren in his office last week with the stadium stuff. And obviously the Matt Eberflus glow up highlighted heavily in the first episode, and there's the Eberflus family.
The party.
In every episode. Yes, the pool party
at
the beginning.
The Great Gatsby party, yeah.
The daughters watching the games and everything. Like, and yes, they're trying to show that Matt Eberflus is not just like some defensive coach lunkhead. He's the head coach, and not just an overseer either, can have an impact on the offense.
He's had an image problem. He has.
Right, and this is part of helping him outgrow it. But, let's talk a little bit more about this, because I think there's an angle there that actually makes some sense in terms of Eberflus being able to coach Caleb in ways that he wasn't able to coach Fields. And we can hear from Matt Eberflus a little bit earlier in the day on Caleb and some other things. At 670 The Score, it's Spiegs and Mark Grody. We will get back to that incredible Cubs win and where things stand with their Cubs playoff chances. They scored 11 runs in the final three innings, so we will get back to that for sure. But also Ryan Poles is speaking today as well. So lots to come. Spiegs and Grody on the afternoon show here on The Score.